got my first real six string. Bought it at the five and dime. Played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school.
Once a month, we get an opportunity to visit with low North Dakota Congressman Kelly Armstrong, and glad to have that conversation starting off right now. Congressman, how you been, man?
You know, busy, but it's been good.
Good, good. The blossoms are out there, because you know what? We got like 2 more inches of snow today. This thing just won't leave us.
So Ryan Taylor was just here, and he had a farmer on regenerative soil health in town and with Ducks Unlimited, and they flew in on Sunday. And it took them like 2 hours to get to their hotel from the airport because of the cherry blossoms.
That, okay. There answers the question. Yeah, everyone's gawking on the cherry blossoms now, but
spring, yeah, like traffic was at an absolute standstill.
Spring might come this way at some point, but not for a little while. Congressman, I'll start here. One thing that's not been really making any progress from where I sit is any negotiations on a debt ceiling. What's the latest on that? Has Kevin McCarthy visited with the Senate? Where are we sitting here? Because time's ticking.
Yeah, and so Speaker McCarthy actually went out today and said that the White House seems to have like a false sense of calm on this. You know, they had their first meeting 2 months ago, and the next day at the prayer breakfast, the president said, we will be having more meetings, and 2 months in, and there hasn't been a single meeting yet. So time is ticking, and it seems like nobody's really thinking about it, but you can't negotiate if both sides won't at least get into a room and have a conversation. So
the purse strings are in your hands in the Congress there. So, I mean, as the speaker brought forward to your caucus saying, here's what I'm going to offer whatever it might be, because I know that there's some people saying, well, this should be a part of it when it comes to, I'll use the word entitlements, but I think people just know what that means. And has he brought that forward to you to digest as far as your Republican caucus?
So I've had meetings, obviously, with a lot of different things. And, you know, there's a lot of different places. Some of these are old Democratic ideas. Some of these have garnered bipartisan support in the past. But the reality is, it doesn't matter if it's the farm bill. It doesn't matter if it's debt ceiling. It doesn't matter any of those things. We're not going to negotiate it in public. I mean, nothing's off the table. Nothing's on the table. But with the exception of, you know, most of the healthcare stuff, I don't think there's real appetite even on the Republican side to deal with any of those issues. But unfortunately, what happens out here, which I have noticed very much in the last 5 years, is the minute you do something like that, then the 48-hour Twitter cycle pulls each and every individual piece of that apart. So the best way to start is to get into a room and start talking about what's on the table, what's off the table, what can we work on, what's a no-go from either side. And that's just not happening right now.
And I guess the final thing I'll say is that could start but through the House, though, right? I mean, getting something on the table, then Chuck Schumer can do what he wants. And, you know, then it's at least at their feet if we default, right, instead of just kind of standing and staring at each other. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I think the response from the White House is that they want a bare debt ceiling increase, and I don't think that won't pass on the House floor. I'm not sure it'll get all the Democrat votes on the House floor. Now, you can do that and you can do the posturing, but that's not how it works. I mean, the deal is eventually going to be cut between the White House, the Speaker of the House, and Senate Democrats, and until you get them all in the room and start talking about it, then you're not really moving anywhere.
Final question I do have on that. I lied. I got one more. When is this time limit up? I guess I'm not sure when we would, in fact, run out of money. Do you have that date in mind?
No. Okay. Well, I think end of the summer is the date, but right, that date is fluid, yeah. And those conversations need to start now. So. Right. I mean, the date for when the debt ceiling hits and the date from when the markets react and the date from all of those things, one, it's a moving target because it's not a finite deadline. And two, it has to start now. And I actually appreciated Speaker McCarthy going out and saying that this morning. So,
Congressman, just yesterday there was a train that derailed by Winemere here in North Dakota. And obviously the train that derailed near Palestine in Ohio, there's been other infrastructure when it comes to rail, that people are wondering about oversight regulation. You can also look at the banks out in California. People are pointing to oversight, regulation. Any of those discussions being had out in Washington?
Yeah, we actually had a subcommittee hearing on the – I'm not on that subcommittee on ENC, but we had a subcommittee on the East Palestine thing this morning and trying to work for it. I mean, whether it's regulatory, whether it's company-specific, all of those different issues. But, I mean, I think the answer to some of this is a lot of our infrastructure is aging and we have to do a better job at getting it to ground. Not the least of which is what is HR 1, which we're going to move off the floor on Thursday, hopefully.
What's
I'm
HR
trying to remember what day it is.
And what is HR
1? It's infrastructure energy permitting. It's agnostic. It's figuring out better ways on finite deadlines for NEPA. There's a lot of different there's a lot of things in there Senate Democrats will never take up, but there are things in there that Senate Democrats have supported. So it's the first step in a process of getting some of that done. But yeah, we had a hearing this morning. It will not be the only committee that has a hearing on it. There's bipartisan legislation in the Senate. I haven't actually looked at that, but that's J.D. Vance and Sherrod Brown. So unfortunately, sometimes it takes a tragedy like that. I'm glad nobody was hurt in Widmer, but it's not our first train derailment in North Dakota in the last 10 years.
No.
Either.
Well, and I think back to Castleton, where we had an explosion again. Thankfully, no one injured there. And, you know, so we had time to address some of this, and it doesn't seem like much got done over those 10 years. Sure that the rail was upheld and on infrastructure.
Well, I think some of it, too, is there's just more heightened, a heightened attention to it. I mean, unfortunately, train derailments happen a lot. I mean, more than they should, but also continuing to move forward and figure out. I mean, we're still going to move product by rail. I mean, the harder it is to get pipe in the ground, the more you're going to move more product by rail. And even if we get every pipe I ever wanted in the ground, you can't move corn, you can't move coal, you can't move certain things by pipeline, and the deficiency and the lack of truck drivers and rail is just going to continue to be a huge part of how we move products from the geographic center of North America to market.
Yeah, we had talked with when there was a pending strike of those that industry. We visited with those truck drivers and say, look, there's not a chance in hell that we could cover up some of the lack of transportation that would cause. Thankfully, that was diverted.
Well, and I don't know. Were you still in the state senate when we were doing the state regular or the state inspector for rail? When we had that whole fight about whether it was the North Dakota responsibility, we ended up putting one in. I can't remember.
Congressman, I started that conversation when I was running for the Public Service Commission. Remember when you poured all that money into Julie Fedorchuk and defeated me?
Oh, I probably wrote Julie a campaign check. That's nothing. That's no offense to you personally.
I'm just saying that it was because of that campaign we had the conversation of the state inspection railroad. And I do remember that conversation. And it was the House that took away the one inspector that you and I were able to get in the Senate side.
Didn't we end up with like a half full-time employer?
It was
some weird government thing that we did.
Yeah, it was like 1.5 FTE or something stupid like that. Bottom line is we did get something done. But, okay, the thing is, this, like you say, it's not new. We've had the warning signs have been there, and to have this continue over and over again, something's got to change, whether that's oversight, whether that's holding accountability, or more money in infrastructure dollars, which, there was an opportunity, and you might have a second go. Would you vote for this infrastructure bill?
Is it paid for?
HR1? I don't know.
HR1 is an appropriation. It's a permitting and regulatory reform bill and deals with everything from pipelines to transmission lines to refining capacity to rare earth metals. So yes, I'm going to vote for it. We have a cross-border permitting bill in there. That it's a combination of about roughly around 20 Republican bills that we'll move on the floor on Thursday.
Congressman Armstrong is our guest. If you have a question, comment, you can send those in to 35270. I'd seen online a couple weeks ago, Gas Stove Protection and Freedom Act, introduced by Congressman Kelly Armstrong. Explain this to me.
Well, it's making sure that we're not forcing people like New York is doing right now to try and ban gas stoves on all new builds and new appliances. It's a weird fight. Everybody says we're overreacting, and then at the same time, you will start seeing this stuff start coming out. And it's making sure that we are allowing people to utilize the infrastructure that currently exists and not force them into something that's more expensive and less efficient.
So no longer state rights? New York can't decide if they want gas stoves? Feds are going to say, absolutely, we're going to require this in law?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, there. You answered my question there. 35270. That's what I appreciate about you. You and I don't always agree, but at least you answer the questions. Here's one for you that was sent in from a texter. Tyler asked him if he's going to run for governor or if he's going to vote for Burgum for president. I'll get to the governor's side after this. You going to vote for Burgum if he runs for president?
If Doug Burgum runs for president, we will wait and cross those bridges when we get there, running for president and all of that. But I told Rob Port the other day, I said, I was state party chair, and I'd watch Governor Burgum run around to these small coffee shops all across North Dakota and flip 80% of the people in the room. And there was no reason for anybody to dislike Wayne Stengem and do that. So I think people who underestimate Governor Burgum are doing so at their own peril. But we're a long ways from having to answer any of those questions. Well, how's that for a punt?
That was a political answer if I've heard one. let me ask you this question. You and I in the state Senate would have probably voted. Well, actually, I don't know. But there was an opportunity here because during COVID, as you're aware, the federal side picked up school lunches, right? For all students, it was taken care of, and that went away. So it's left to those states, and North Dakota has, a surplus. We've got a budget, and they rejected expanding to the tune of $6 million over the next 2 years, allowing for more individuals that are below 200% of poverty lines to get $6 million worth of aid for those lunch programs. Is that something that the Fed should look back into? Because we proved that we can during COVID, and then we let it lapse. And let me tell you where I'm coming from before you answer. It just seems to me that this should be a part of it, just like we have funding for textbooks, desks, that sort of thing. I'm curious your thoughts.
So I've had a little bit of a ideological shift on this issue. I just start from, and I don't know the particulars of this bill. I honestly don't. I've been in committee hearings all week this week. But one of the two things that I think are really important about it is, one, what's the cost of compliance? When you're chasing around bad debt on school lunch, I would be really interested in what the actual recovery is for the expenses used. And two, just as somebody who's dealt with this, eventually, I always used to be under the position, I don't want Kelly and Kirstie Armstrong. We can afford to pay for school lunches, so I don't want to take that money away from people who actually can't. But I think when you do the overall efficiency of this, it's something worth looking into. When you just see some of the numbers, and I don't have them in front of me, I think the efficiency of collection, and this is before we talk about the fact that a fourth grader needs to get fed, whether his parents haven't paid their bill or not, and you can't have that lunch line interaction. That's absolutely the worst thing you can do to any student alive. Because no matter who's at fault, it ain't the fourth grader who's hungry.
It's just absolutely not.
So I think there's a certain amount of how expensive is it versus how efficient is it to collect in the other way? And the information I saw, I haven't seen this it was about a year and a half ago when I saw it, so I'd have to go look at it. But it just seemed to me that it was a very inefficient use of limited school resources, and the expense probably could be offset by the fact that you don't actually collect the bad debt anyway.
Right. I can give you an example just from Fargo here, because we were having this conversation the last couple of days. The Fargo public school system is expected to have $90,000 in unpaid debt at the end of the school year. As far as reclaiming that and going and collecting it, I have no idea what that expense is, but
And I think, outside of the human issue and the issue about whether or not if you're somewhere from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m., those types of issues, but I think purely from a practical standpoint, my guess, just that this is a little not fines, but like fees and costs in the court system, just it costs you 97 cents on the dollar to collect it.
Yeah. Well, so you and I are, I think, in agreement here that this is something that can be done, or at least at the very minimum should be looked into on the federal side.
We spend a lot of money on really stupid stuff in D.C., making sure that kids are fed or that we're not burning up value human hour resources on something that we're collecting 3 cents on the dollar on. Yeah, I think it's worth having that conversation.
Very
good. And by the way, that I have shifted on that issue. I used to be very adamant on it being specifically and strategically needs placed, but I'm just telling you the numbers and the data don't really support that, at least from the last time I looked at it.
Congressman, I don't care how you came to the conclusion. I think it's the right conclusion, and that's how we can end this month's conversation with agreement that, you know what, those school lunches should be provided. I'm out of time. Let's do this again next month, all right?
All right.
All right, you take care. Congressman Kelly Armstrong, he's the lone congressman here in North Dakota. Your thoughts at 35270. You can also call in the final hour of Afternoons Live. Is going to get underway after KFGO News. That's at 237-5948. That's the Laney studio line. It's all on the table. Congressman Armstrong was the only guest I was booked for today. You want to talk about this? We can do that. Trey Lance, is he going to be a Niner? I don't know. You just heard some of the CBS Sports updates. They're not real confident in that. Anything you want to chat about, I'm here for you. I'm Tyler Axsidis. You are listening to Afternoons Live on the mighty 790, 94.1, and 104.7 FM, KFGO.
Cool cat looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop running up the stairs. Gonna